This IBA podcast considers the unique and highly significant trial of Hissène Habré that was held in Senegal and supported by the African Union. The former Chad dictator was convicted in May 2016 of crimes against humanity, war crimes and torture committed from 1982 to 1990. Assessing the trial and what it means for international criminal justice across Africa and beyond are Richard Goldstone, Honorary First Chief Prosecutor of the United Nations International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia and for Rwanda, Fatou Bensouda, Chief Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, and Mark Ellis, Executive Director of the IBA. We start with Richard Goldstone.
I think it's significant in a number of respects. The first is that it resulted from pressure from victims, which is very important to realize and to acknowledge. It was patient victims who waited more than two decades and who pushed. What also drove it was the Belgian application for the extradition of Habré. They wanted to put him on trial. And what is significant too is that the African Union stepped in. They didn't want yet another African being tried in Europe, whether by an international or domestic court. And it was the AU that passed a resolution that pushed Senegal into setting up this extraordinary chamber in Senegal. What also helped, of course, was the International Court of Justice gave an order telling Senegal either to try Habré or to send him to Belgium. So there was really a combination of all of these events and all of these pressures that each of them was extraordinary, and they all added up to the Hissène Habré trial in Senegal. So this is a big win for international justice. It's a big win for victims. And it's a win too, I think, for Africa. I wasn't surprised by the verdict at all. The evidence of very serious, egregious crimes committed by Habré was notorious from the time he was in office and left office. The Habré trial is not going to in any way alleviate the attitude of the AU and some African states to the ICC, but it is an important recognition of the importance of impunity, of stopping impunity. This is what the AU has effectively decided with regard to the Habré trial. But I'm not very optimistic about the AU fundamentally changing its attitude and still pushing for an African regional criminal court, which incidentally I don't oppose at all, but I don't believe that there's a political will, and even more important, I don't believe that there's the money available to do that. The main push in the AU comes from leaders who are nervous about appearing themselves before an international criminal court, and there are a number of them, unfortunately, on our continent. It is pressure from them and ignoring the calls of victims for justice that has been driving the AU, and that's not going to change.
Chief Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, Fatou Bensouda.
As an African and a person who is firmly committed to the cause of international criminal justice in the continent and beyond, I consider this verdict an important achievement in the fight against impunity for atrocity crimes. Senegal, the African Union, and all the other partners who contributed to the realization of this trial deserve credit and they deserve praise. We should, of course, recognize that this is not a final judgment and the decision may be appealed. But having said that, that being said, the decision sends a very strong signal. For perpetrators and would-be perpetrators, the message I see is clear, that mass atrocities will not be tolerated. No one is above the law. I remain supportive of all efforts that are taking place, whether it's on the continent or elsewhere, to ensure that perpetrators of these crimes will be held accountable. This is what we are doing. And ICC does not have monopoly, of course, over trying all these crimes wherever they take place. Of course, this is our core business, investigate and prosecute these crimes. But if there are efforts other efforts at the national level, especially in this particular instance. We don't have temporal jurisdiction with regards to Hissène Habré. As you know, the crimes took place even before the ICC was established, so we do not have jurisdiction. But the effort that has been made at the AU level, together with Senegal, more or less giving Senegal the mandate to try these crimes, and other partners helping in this effort, I think it's just to be commended. This is what should happen. The reason why ICC is in Africa, I believe, is very clear now, despite what everybody else is saying. It is the call that Africa is making, has been making, for these kind of crimes when they occur, for ICC to step in and investigate and prosecute where we have jurisdiction. It is important that we have justice for these atrocity crimes when they occur, especially where ICC does not have jurisdiction. This is something that should be emulated around the continent and beyond, that efforts are made to bring to justice those who commit these crimes. And those efforts, as long as they are independent, they are impartial, and they are genuine efforts, I believe it is important in the fight that we have agreed we will make against impunity for mass atrocity crimes. ICC is a court of last resort, not a court of first instance. And if there are efforts to bring to justice those who commit these crimes at the national level, they should be commended for that because they are doing their duty.
Executive Director of the IBA, Mark Ellis.
Victims played such an important role in this proceeding, and that's very unique. It's still unique in international law. You have the Cambodia Tribunal and the ICC that has victim participation, but for a nascent court tribunal with this type of jurisdiction over international crimes to also include the opportunity for victims to participate in the proceedings as civil parties, I think was quite courageous, and I think that too is quite unique. I'm a big supporter of these domestic trials. I've always felt that national prosecution is absolutely the most desirable that you could have. You have to ensure that the domestic trial, the domestic proceedings, meet international standards of fairness and impartiality. That is absolutely essential if you're to show legitimacy for the proceedings. But that is very difficult to do, and it's difficult to do certainly in a post-conflict environment. It's difficult to do in an environment that is not that doesn't have that type of background on international criminal law. But this is where the international community needs to step up and to assist nation states that have a desire to undertake these types of trials. And I suspect that there are some imperfections here on the trial, and there be criticism. That's understandable, but from a general framework, I think this is a very good model as to in moving forward, and it does suggest that it could work in other situations. I don't think anyone should see this particular proceeding or anything similar to it as somewhat contradicting the mandate or the legitimacy of the ICC. I would say just the opposite. The ICC is premised on the principle of complementarity, and that principle holds that that justice should be done locally, that states have a responsibility and they should be willing and able to undertake these types of accountability mechanisms. And only if a state is not able or willing should the ICC step in. I think this case is so important is that it does show that Africa continues to focus and to embrace this concept of accountability. And whether it's international, on the international level, whether it's on a regional level, whether it's on a domestic level, so long as we don't lose that intention, that focus, then I think we're on a very positive path.